Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
So, if you have your Bibles in your outline, go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. That's kind of the focus of this series that we are in. This is the second week of our series entitled, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. That is what our heart's desire should be this time of year, but sometimes we need a little help getting there, right? And so I want to begin this morning. When we finished last week, I used an illustration for the darkness that Israel was in and that we all are really in our sin. And I likened it to a cave. Anybody ever been in a cave, spelunking or whatever they call it? And I'm not talking about just like where they got lights down in there and then you can take some pictures and turn around. I'm talking about down in there, right? So here's a story I want to begin with. I'm going to show you this picture. Anybody know who these young men are? I know it's blurry. Anybody know who they are? If you do, I'll be impressed. Well, yeah, some of us do. Yeah, so here's the story. Yeah, they didn't crash. But here's the story. So it was June 23rd, 2018. 12 young men, I think they were aged 11 to 16. They were a part of a soccer club that was their soccer team. They had just finished practice on a Saturday, and their assistant coach, he's over there with the helmet on, had an idea of doing a little team building exercise. So they jumped on their bikes, and this is in northern Thailand, and they jumped on their bikes and they rode to the Tam Luang Cave, big tourist attraction there, right? They have like booths set up out front of the cave, like it's a huge tourist attraction. And so many of these boys had probably been in that cave before, but they started walking, right? And so you can go about a half a mile into the cave, and then they suggest you stop and you turn around and go out, right? As a matter of fact, most of the cave has never even been explored all the way. So they've gone a certain place and they're like, oh, this is safe. Now turn around and come back. So these guys got the bright idea, as most young men do. You guys know about the frontal lobe in boys, right? It ain't closed yet. And some men, it's not closed yet. So we tend to do some crazy things sometimes, right? So they just kept walking. They kept walking. They got about a mile into the cave, and all of a sudden, a monsoon started. And so I don't know if you've ever been to Thailand or if you've ever been out there. When monsoon season comes, you just endure it. You don't stop it. And so here's what happened. There's a creek that runs right through the middle of the cave. And so the rain started outside, and all of a sudden, the cave starts flooding. So what they do is they panic. They try to turn around and go back the way that they came, but it was flooded. They couldn't get out. And so they turned and started running deeper into the cave, trying to find a way out. They were eventually 2.5 miles deep into the cave. No light whatsoever. And they found themselves just trying to stay above the water. Soaking wet, surrounded by thick darkness. These young boys were in trouble, right? And get this, for 9 days, they were trapped in a dark, flooding cave. No idea if they'll ever make it out alive. Not even knowing if anyone was even looking for them. It's the perfect illustration for what Isaiah writes in our text. As I said, we're in the second week of this series about preparing our hearts as Christians to celebrate Christmas. And man, I don't know how old you are, but you know, you spend Christmas after Christmas doing the same things, thinking about the same story. And if we're not careful, it can become very rote to us, right? Very mundane and monotonous. We're going to talk about the same baby in a manger, and it loses its meaning to us. And then you couple on top of that circumstances that tend to crowd in on you and weigh you down. And the whole purpose of what we're supposed to be doing this time of year just kind of goes out the window. It's easy to forget exactly what we are celebrating. And so here's what we're doing for the next few weeks at Pioneer. We're taking a little journey. We're taking a journey to maybe, hopefully, a rediscovering. Maybe if you're not a believer, it's the first time you're ever discovering what it means to celebrate Christ with adoration. And we talked last week about what that word adoration means. It's the internal motivation that drives our worship, right? So worship, true worship can't be faked. We can go through the motions of it. We can stand and sing and we can say, oh, it's Christmas. We love Jesus and everything. But true adoration starts from a heart that has been stirred for Jesus. You can't fake that. And you can't suppress it. Amen? And so that's where we want to be. That's where we pray that God will bring us. But in order for us to get to that place of adoration, we've got to understand where we are. We've got to understand our reality. And so we went to an Old Testament book called Isaiah because Isaiah takes us on this journey of where we are to where we see Christ and adore him. And we left off last week with this passage of scripture. We're going to pick back up here this morning. This is what Isaiah says was the outcome of Judah and Israel in their sin. To the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn. What does that mean? They're in darkness. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. Now, we talked a little bit about how Israel and Judah had gotten to that place, but give you a quick recap. They had a king of Judah named Ahaz, and he just operated under fear and spiritual darkness. Israel had been walking away from God for about 200 years. And in that 200 years, they began to worship idols, and they forgot who God was. And during that time, an attack was coming from a foreign enemy, the Assyrians. And so God comes to Ahaz, and he says, listen, man, if you'll trust me, if you will do what I say, if you will repent and turn Judah back to me, I can promise you, I'm going to defeat the Assyrians for you. And Ahaz says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to try it another way. So here's what they end up doing. This is how insane it was. They began to pay Assyria to leave them alone. We're going to pay you to leave us alone, like the bully in school, right? We'll give you our milk money and you leave us alone. And God said, okay, since you don't want to try it my way, you're going to go on a journey for a little bit. And that is the journey that you and I have been walking, and we started last week. And here's the first part of the journey that we need to understand. You and I can't come to the place where we can adore Christ at Christmas until we understand the reality of our condition apart from him. Like the light makes no sense if you don't understand how dark the darkness is. And so that's where Israel was. They were in spiritual darkness. And it's only when we come to terms with the fact that, man, I'm in darkness too, that I can begin to see the light that Christ shines in my life. And so we ended last week with a very simple question. Do you realize how dark it is in your sin? See, most of us, man, we compare our darkness to the darkness of our neighbor around us, right? And so my darkness isn't that bad. Like, I don't do as, you know, like I might cuss a little bit, but I'm not this guy. And so we try to find a little bit of a light within ourselves compared to the people beside of us. And what Judah was guilty of was, it was darker than they realized. And so the question that you and I have to come to terms with, if we're going to get to this place where we adore Christ, man, do I realize how dark it is in my heart? And so we're going to continue with that, the first part of our time this morning, with really understanding the darkness. And we're going to get out of it, praise the Lord. Isaiah takes us out of it. But we've got to wallow around in it for just a little bit longer in this passage. Because here's the thing. It's not enough to just know you're in the dark, right? I can walk into a dark room and go, man, it's dark in here. That doesn't change the situation, right? All it does is it elevates the gloom in the room. And that's what we see here in verse 22, man. You're looking around, Isaiah says. You're going to look to the earth. You're going to look for help. You're like, man, it's dark in here. And the only thing that you're going to have is more distress and darkness. The only thing that the realization of darkness does is elevates the anguish and the gloom that we are walking in. And so if we think back to the opening illustration of those soccer players, and we're going to come back to that several times in our message today, as they're trapped in that cave, the darkness only served to make their rescue more difficult, right? And so their hopes of getting out of that cave diminished the deeper they got. Now think about that. There's great danger in spiritual darkness. And so I want to point out to us this morning what the dangers of the darkness really is, so that we can identify them and get out from them. Because here's what happens to us in our darkness. While we're feeling around in the darkness of our life, we tend to make a big mess. I was going to do this. I thought maybe it'd be a little too much. My youth pastor days are coming out, but I was going to blindfold somebody in here and spin them around like four times and tell them to walk from there to back there. Now, what do you think would happen? The chairs are going to get messed up, right? Probably fall down, bust your lip. We don't have the coverage for that, insurance coverage. You're going to get disoriented, right? So, but here's the point. Here's what I want you to say. So you get... Probably. Somebody's got to clean that up, and I don't know who's going to do that. But here's my point. I think you see where we're going with that. You see, man, we're in the darkness, and we try to convince ourselves that the darkness isn't that bad. I may not be able to see, but I can feel my way around, right? And so we begin to feel our way around, and we begin to try to walk out, but here's what inevitably happens. We end up walking the wrong way, and we don't know it. And when we're wallowing around in our darkness and we think we can figure it out and do it on our own, we make a big mess out of our lives. Some of us in here today know those scars and those regrets all too well, man.
I resemble that remark.
I think if we're all honest, I think we can all say, man, I remember what it was like in the darkness. And I did some rough stuff. Things that even now I dream about and I wake up saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. He's forgiven us, but we feel the weight of it. You see, your life in the darkness has lasting effects on you. The choices and decisions we make in darkness make us miserable. And here's the reason. Because when we're in the darkness, we don't see the mess we're making, do we? We don't see the effects of floundering around and trying to take matters into our own hands, and we're walking deeper and deeper and deeper into that spiritual darkness. Let me tell you a story about those Thai kids. They reached a place in the cave where there was enough room on the bank of this creek for all 13 of them to be. Just enough room for them to get out of the water. They couldn't move anymore. And they don't know. They can't see. Remind you this. So they can't see. And so they find this little patch of ground. And so that became their home. But here's what you got to understand. They couldn't get into the water because it was too deep and they would drown. They couldn't go back the way that they'd come because it was flooded. And so their life was limited to this little spot. Now, I don't want to be crude or crass, but I need to tell you what happened during that time. That became their bedroom, their kitchen, and their bathroom for 18 days. They said when the first recon team got to them, the divers got to them, the guy said, when I got out of the water, the first thing that I noticed was the smell. Hey, man, when we walk into spiritual darkness, we don't have any idea how bad it's going to stink later. Nobody in this room walked into their spiritual darkness going, man, I can't wait to ruin my life. Boy, I can't wait to make some really bad decisions, right? And that's what the darkness does, is it hides the reality of our sin. And so here's where we need to go first. I got three things this morning that's going to help us get out of our spiritual darkness. Okay, here's the first one. I got to see that the darkness is more dangerous than I expected it to be. Anybody ever heard this phrase? Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You ever heard that? It's always going to take you farther than you want to go. It's going to keep you there longer than you want to stay, and it's going to cost you more than you ever thought you'd have to pay for it. You see, no one walking into that life understands what's going to happen on the other side of it. Listen, the Bible tells us that the angel that Satan disguises himself as an angel of what? Of light. Look, man, if he came to you with the pitchfork and the horns, you'd run away, right? Most people would. Man, but sin is attractive.
He's supposed to be a pretty guy.
It's what they say, right? But man, when we're in the middle of it, and when the smell of sin starts to hit our nostrils, when he takes off that mask and he shows us who he really is, that's when we want to run. But in that moment, we're so encapsulated by the darkness, we don't know where to go. Here's my point. You got to understand this morning, and it's a hard point, but it's so necessary. You and I have no idea how bad it really is. Israel and Judah spent 200 years walking down a cave, thinking that at any moment they could turn around and go back out the way they came. But here's what happened. What they were doing was what Paul said in Romans 6. They were banking in an account that they would have to pay for with their life. The wages of sin is what, church? Death. I love you. It's not a good time. It's not a phase. It's not sowing your wild oats. It's incurring a debt that you have to pay for with your life. How many of us were told that at the mouth of the cave and we walked anyway? We end up trapped in darkness and we have no idea how dangerous it really is. Man, so here's what the Bible tells us. The wages of sin is death. Here's what that means. The one thing, the only thing that can separate you from God is your sin. You get that? Hey, man, God can work through and bust through your fear. He can bust through your pride. And he can't do anything with you while you're engrossed in sin. And you are incurring a debt that somebody's got to pay. God is angry at our sin. His wrath is revealed, Paul says, against all unrighteousness. You see how dark it is? It's dark. And so here's my question for you this morning. Do you understand the truth about your sin? Not what you want it to look like, not the perception of everybody around you, but do you understand the truth of it? It's killing you. It kills you. But we got to understand that it's worse than we think. But the story gets better, okay? Sorry I had to start there, but that's where we had to go. What happens next is actually a gift of God's grace to the nation of Israel. And here's what we see happening. God's people begin to feel the weight of their darkness. One of the best things God can do for us in our spiritual darkness is to allow us to feel the weight of it. Some of us this morning are feeling the weight of it. And you're at a crossroads. You don't like the way it feels. You don't like how it makes you regret so much things. You don't like the taste of the bitterness that's coming from it. But listen, before God can rescue you out of the darkness, he's got to let you experience the darkness, the reality of it. And it's not fun. There's pain in it, church. There's a lot of remorse in it. There's a lot of regret in it. There's broken relationships that come in the dark. But this is where we begin to realize how bad sin really is. And so for Judah, go back to our text. For Judah, their taste of sin came in a lot of different ways. For 700 years after this prophecy, they tasted a lot of bitterness because of their sin. But in Isaiah chapter 9, we begin to see the story shift from the darkness to the answer. So pick up with me in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought forth in contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Verse 5, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Now that makes a whole lot of no sense right now, right? What in the world is he talking about? We ended up talking about in verse 22, you guys are in some mess. You're in darkness. But the darkness won't last forever. And so here's what Isaiah's doing. He's coming at it from a future perspective. He's saying, here's your reality. Here's where you are. But this is not where you're going to stay. Amen? And here's what he's saying. There's two time frames that he's talking about here, right? He says there's a former time and a latter time. So here's what happened in the former time. If we go back, he says, in the former time, there was contempt. What does that word contempt mean? If you're held in contempt of court, what does that mean?
Running your mouth, not doing right.
But what does the court do when you're in contempt? Joey, what's contempt?
It gives you a penalty.
You get a penalty, right? The word actually means you're brought low. Yeah. Remember the too big for your britches thing? That's what contempt does. It puts you in the right pair of britches.
As long as you say
snatch a knot. Snatch a knot, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. Israel and Judah has now put themselves in contempt, God's contempt. And they're going to have to pay the penalty for it, right? They're going to have to endure that for a while. And so Zebulun and Naphtali were the two, and let me give you a little history, two northern tribes of the kingdom. They were the most northern. So they were the first line of defense for the enemies. And so here's what he's saying. You two, Zebulun and Naphtali, you're going to get hit first. You see, Assyria came from the north. And so their border went all the way to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. But here's what happened. They thought everything was good, right? They're paying off the Assyrians. We're good. We could keep doing what we're doing. They didn't come through the land. The Assyrians had boats. And so they came around through the sea and captured. That's right. And so they came in and they captured the land before Judah could even do anything. Before they could mobilize, before they could do anything. And so in the year 732 BC, here's what happened. Assyria marched themselves right on in to Israel, and they set up a province of Assyria in the capital of Israel. So now Israel is no longer the people of God. They're the people of Assyria. They have no freedom. They are enslaved to the enemy. And so here's what happened. For 700 years, war, death, captivity, starvation. Listen, the prophet Jeremiah says there was a time when the people of Israel ate their own children. That's how bad it was. They were starving. You see how dark the darkness is. But here's where it goes. There's a former time, but then there's a latter time. And in the latter time, here's what happens. There's a way made glorious because a light is about to shine into the darkness. And here's my question. Why is this good news? Why is realizing how bad the darkness is good news for us? Because Israel needs to feel the weight of their sin so that they will get at a place where they can see the darkness and see it in contrast to the light. So here's the second thing. Not only do we have to understand how bad the darkness is, but I got to realize I'm unable to get out of it on my own. I can't get out of my darkness on my own. And so here's what happened over the 700 years of oppression for Judah and Israel. They got humbled. They were no longer able to take matters into their own hands. They couldn't fight. You hear me? Listen, they didn't have any fight left in them. They were at their lowest place in history. But that's where God began to say, I can do something with that. Hey, I can do something with humility. I can do something with honesty. I can do something with a people who go, I've blown it, and I'm at your mercy, God. And so what happened was there began to be some joy that began to come out of their darkness. So for you and I, when we realize how dark it is, have two choices. One, we can either stop. You know the best thing to do when you're lost?
Stop.
Or we can panic. And we can keep going in circles and keep driving ourselves deeper into the cave. That's our choices, right? That's right. So, thankfully, and I encourage you to do, we don't have time to do this today, but this week in your devotions, here's what I ask you to do. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And listen to me. Don't stop reading at the first 20 verses, because if you do, you'll have a very depressing day. Stuff in there like, God has made me chew on gravel. But in verse 21, he says, but when I look at the Lord, I have hope. When we see the darkness in contrast to the light, that's when things begin to change. Here's what I want you to understand about this. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Here's an important point this morning that I need you to get. They didn't find the light. The light found them. It's so different. Every other religion will tell you, you find the light. You find your God. And if you do what he wants you to do, then he'll accept you. The gospel is that you were lost and in darkness. And only when you stopped and said, I need help, he shined the light of Jesus on you. Our Savior finds us. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Oh, so we're starting to see some goodness in this. But we got to stop and let the light come to us. So if I can go back to our Thai friends for just a minute. They made a documentary of the rescue of these young boys. And there's a video, and it's too long. I wish I could show it to you this morning. But it shows the first contact with them. These British divers navigated through all these crazy tunnels. And so there's this picture or this video of them coming out of the water right where those boys are, and their lights come up and hit those boys in the face. And there's this scream, not of terror, but of joy. These little boys are so excited that they've been found. And that light, when that light hits them in the face, you can just see they just melt. Our rescue is here. Now, here's the thing. The rescue wasn't yet. The rescue wasn't yet. It still took 9 more days to get those boys out. But can you imagine the first time they saw that light, that their lives were changed? And so here's what Isaiah is saying. The light that is shining on them, it's still 700 years away. But what it gives you is a hope. And that's what we have at Christmas. We have a hope that it's not always going to be this way. Because God has invaded his creation with light. Folks, the light meant so much to those boys, because they had felt the weight of the darkness. They knew how darkness felt. And when they saw that light, they didn't want to stay in the darkness. The darkness, or the light rather, was so much better. And so listen, this is the key for us. We've got to get to the end of ourselves, church, and our disillusionment with the darkness. We've got to see it as it is. And until we do, we're going to keep floundering around in it. And so now we're getting to the heart of the Christmas story. Look at verses 3-5. Because of that light, he says, you've multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. And they rejoice before you as with joy in the harvest. There's relief when you see the light. They are glad when they divide the spoil. Because here's what begins to happen when the light shines on you. The yoke of the burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor is broken. And it's on the day of Midian. And that's another history lesson for you. We don't have time to go into. But you remember Gideon in Judges was a coward, was threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding. And the angel of the Lord came to him and he said, the Lord greets you, O mighty warrior. And Gideon's in there hiding going, me? Gideon grabs an army, and God makes him whittle that army down to 300 men. So that when they defeated the enemy, they would know who was responsible for the victory. So here's the purpose of the light. Listen to me. The purpose of the light is so that we don't take any credit for the rescue. It's impossible. That's why the light has to shine on us. That's why we don't go find it. And so what Isaiah is telling the people of Israel is if you will repent, if you will be humble, the hope that's coming in the light will shine on you. It's 700 years they had to wait. But it came. And so how do we apply this to our life? We're 2,000 years on the other side of it, right? We know the story. We know that the baby came. The light of the world came. We know that he grew up. We know that he died on a cross for us. We know that he was buried and he was raised on the third day. And we're on the other side of it. But listen, we're still waiting too. And we can either walk in darkness or we can wait for the light to come back and shine on us. But I love how Paul puts it for the New Testament folks. This is what I call the New Testament Isaiah 9. This is from Ephesians. Once you were dead, listen, church, you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. That was the Isaiah 8, the thick darkness, right? That's where all of us were. Now, get what Paul's saying here. He said, you're dead. What can a dead person do? Be dead. We go to a cemetery right now. I can promise you, we can say to those graves all day, get up. And they ain't getting up. The only thing a dead man can do is be dead. Until the giver of life comes and raises them. And here's what he said in verse 3. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. We've already talked about that, just like everyone else. But God. Hey, church, don't ever get tired of that little phrase. But God. Not you with God's help. God is so rich in mercy. And he loved you so much that even though you were dead because of your sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Listen, this is what we celebrate, not just at Christmas time, but every day. You were dead. And Jesus looked at you and said, you're worth my life. And he died for you. And now that he is raised from the dead, you and I, through faith and trust in him, can be alive forevermore. But here's the key. It's the last point this morning. I got to embrace the light that shines in my darkness. I know this may sound like a moot point. Who in their right mind, if they're lost in the dark, would want to run away from light? But it happens all the time. Those boys, when they saw that light shining on them for the first time in that cave, they were excited because they wanted to go with the light. But there's a lot of us out there, man, that when we see the light, we go, no, man, I think I still want to do it my way. I think I'm going to go a little bit deeper and see if I can find it myself. You will die in your darkness. So we got to embrace the light. Now, here's what's so important about this, and we'll get into this more next week, but the reason for the rejoicing and the hope is because God broke through their darkness in an amazing way. But when we see the light, we can't run from it. We have to stay in the light. Now, here's what the light was, and this is where we're going to get next week. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And we're going to talk about that next week, about the fact that you and I didn't earn the rescue at all. God gave us something to get us out of the darkness. And the reason why that's important is because two things happen when we embrace the light. One, it shows us how valuable we are to the one rescuing us. Hey, man, you're not just some splat in creation that God doesn't care about. He gave you his best to save you. But not only does that elevate us, but here's the key, and what's more important, it shows the greatness of the hero. Like, here's what's cool about that cave rescue, and we'll be done after this. 13 kids out of 7.5 billion people in the world. Think about this. 13 kids made some really bad choices, made some dumb moves, and found themselves lost in a cave. But you know what? Those lives were so valuable They get this, 10,000 people, 100 divers, 100 different government agencies, 900 police officers, 2,000 soldiers, 10 helicopters, 7 ambulances, 700 oxygen cylinders, and pumps that pumped more than a billion liters of water out of that cave for those 13 kids. So here's what I want you to see. As bad as the mistakes were, as bad as the darkness was, how much greater was the rescue? Hey man, do you know why we worship at Christmas? Because God invaded our mess with His best. Like, He didn't send an angel. Like, He didn't just say, I'm going to give you a little help and you figure out the rest of it. The Creator became the created and was born in our mess and exposed Himself. He left the glory of heaven to come into our junk, to breathe our nasty air, to feel the weight of our brokenness and sin. And the Creator hung on a cross that His creation put Him on because He thought that much of you to rescue you. Ain't nobody in this world that's going to love you like that. So why do we worship at Christmas? Because our sin is great. But our Savior is so much greater. Hey, but it only gets better from here. So I'll end this story. The darkness in you is great. You're not getting rid of it on your own. But you don't have to stay there. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes as we end our time this morning. I don't know where everybody is this morning in your life. I don't know the decisions you've made. I don't know where you are. But you're a human. And because you're a human, I know where you've been. You've been in some dark places. The question this morning is, are you still there? And because I love you so much, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're walking in darkness today, you're not getting out on your own. But you don't have to stay there. The whole point of Christmas, the whole point of the gospel is that God looked at you in your darkness. He looked at you when you were at your worst. And He didn't choose to leave you in it. But He moved heaven and earth to make a way for you to be saved. And it's through His name, Jesus. So here's what you got to do this morning. I don't know where you are. But if you're listening to me this morning and you've never said, I believe what you're saying. I know I can't get out of it on my own. I've tried. And today I've come to the realization that the only way for me to be saved is through the light of Christ. Here's what you got to do. You got to tell Him that. And I know that's hard. But you got to be honest. First with yourself and then with Him who already knows your heart. And you got to tell Him, I'm a sinner. Not I've made some mistakes. I'm in darkness. And Jesus, I can't get out on my own. But what that man just stood up there and said to me and told me about Jesus, I believe. And I believe He came and He died in my place. And He took me out of darkness into His light. And I believe that gospel and I trust you to save me today. That's what you got to do. Listen, there ain't no magic prayer. It's your heart being poured out before God who knows you. So I'm going to pray in just a minute. And I just need you to know this morning that there is not a greater decision that you'll ever make in your life. So as I pray this morning, if you're in the darkness, would you reach out and embrace the light that is shining through Jesus. Father, we come to you. And God, I'm so grateful for this message of hope that you've given us. God, that you looked at us in our darkness. You saw us in our anguish and in our gloom. And instead of leaving us where we were to die, you came and invaded that darkness with your son, Jesus. God, would you make that truth more real to us today than it's ever been? God, don't let us turn away from it. But let us look deeply into that act of love. And Lord, would you allow that truth of his light to stir our heart today? Maybe for the first time, Father. And so, God, if there's anybody here this morning who needs the hope of Jesus, God, would you give them the strength, the courage to reach out and take it? And Lord, don't let them leave here today without telling somebody what they've done so that we can rejoice with them that they have passed from death to life, from darkness into the light of Christ. And we can celebrate Christmas together this year in a brand new way. So Holy Spirit, whatever you're doing, would you just bring it to completion among us this morning? And Lord, for the rest of us who may have forgotten how strong the light is, that it can pierce the darkest darkness we've ever been in. Remind us of that today. And Lord, as we end our time this morning, may we sing from hearts who not only know that truth, but have staked our lives on it. Father, you are worthy. You're worthy of more than what we can give you. But God, help us to give you all that we can. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. And Lord, may we be a people who not only appreciate it, but adore it. In Christ's name, amen.